Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. I'm Pharrell with Carver High and Mafia on CBS Sports Radio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The PGA Tour heads to the Big Easy for a unique two-man format featuring Jason Day and Adam Scott plus Sergio Garcia teaming up with Tommy Fleetwood Mac. The Zurich Classic of New Orleans this weekend on CBS. Massive playoff action going on. PharrellOnTheBench.com is your source for picks. How about last night? 6-1-1 in NBA plays. You like them apples? NBA, NHL, baseball, every game, every day, boxing, MMA, every big fight. Sign up today. The best picks, the best price, the best results. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Don't forget episode 208 of Pharrell on the Bench tomorrow on iTunes, Google Play, and Westwood1Podcast.com. Episode 208. Subscribe and follow on Twitter at OnTheBets, WWO. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4, CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save money. Switch to Geico. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Carver High.
Look, you're right. We were talking right before he came back. You know, the Canes maybe should have won this game already. They've had a couple of chances in the overtime
Jesus,
period.
Like five.
Aho Fanning there early. They got a bad break with about 7 minutes left in the overtime where the Caps, Connolly, did shoot the puck over the glass in his own
zone. How do you miss that?
And the refs missed it.
How do you miss that?
They did not
There's
call
four guys
a delay
on the
a
ice.
Game. They got together and talked. They did not give him a penalty. So that could have been a Caps, Canes power play, I mean.
How do you miss out when there's four guys on the ice? Honestly, in the NHL, this isn't like, high school hockey.
But if there's one thing I really noticed in the last 4 or 5 minutes of that overtime, both teams are starting to really lose their legs.
They're gassed.
A lot of icings, not as much hard skating to the puck. So these guys needed this little 15 minutes in the locker room here. We'll see who comes out now in the second overtime. Because you know they're looking to end it. They know that they got another one less than 48 hours away on the horizon. You know, they don't want to, they know that.
I know. Well, I know they know it, but I doubt they're thinking about that right now. Well,
listen, you want to get,
you're worried
you
about,
win
you're
this
worried
thing.
About Friday night right now when you're in a double overtime
play
game?
Play all night, you know.
They need to worry about scoring a goal. They need to worry about their assignments on the ice. There's no way you could tell me that they're thinking about the Islanders right now when you're in this desperate situation. Both teams are desperate to score a goal. My guess is they're thinking about nothing other than, you know, bananas and some liquids.
Get a couple beers in there.
I mean, I think, beers and a barbecue is ideal for me. That would be.
See, what you really need to do is you got to have it ready.
Some bong rips.
When they get in there, like when there's like 5 minutes left before you know you're going to have that intermission, you got to start frying the grill up right then and there.
You know, early, like 10 into the overtime. Yeah. I would have had the equipment guy, already had bratwurst on for at least 20 minutes.
I mean, you can't have hot dogs anymore, right? No. You had that story today. You can't have hot dogs
no
anymore.
No more hot dogs.
You got to have something ready for the guys when they come in.
Is it true they've banned hot dogs?
I don't know anything about it.
It is a problem. It is a real problem in this community. New York City is the first city in the United States to eliminate processed meats. Bill de Blasio approved a $14 billion Green New Deal Monday to combat climate change. Here's what he's going to do. They're going to cut purchases of red meat by 50% in the city. They're also, did you hear they're not going to do glass and steel buildings anymore? Did you see the cover of the New York Post with Fred Flintstone? It was a picture of de Blasio building stone buildings.
It's unbelievable.
They're going to reduce greenhouse emissions by 30% while also creating new jobs, allegedly. All buildings that are 25,000 square feet or more, of which there are 50,000 of them citywide, will be required to make efficiency upgrades. They're lower energy usage and emissions, or they'll face huge fines, allegedly. But the key to the deal, it would appear to me, is no more hot dogs on street corners.
Shocking development.
Saving the world. What processed meats?
So what are they going to sell?
Is that changing the world or something? There's really? Like, we're all dying because of what? You know, Los Angeles' pollution is because of the meat, the hot dogs in New York City? What? I don't get it. Processed meats, what does that have to do with anything?
Sometimes when you get those hot dogs, you feel like you're dying afterwards, that's for sure.
They're trying for meatless Mondays. The new commitment is what they're doing in New York City schools, where all you do on Mondays now is eat vegetables and kale, like mafia. And what is the other one you eat? The beans, what are they called? Kiwa? Quinoa?
Quinoa.
It's quinoa Tuesdays at a mafia's house. Anyway, no more hot dogs in New York City, Carver. It looks like when we go to the Yankee games, we're going to have to eat bratwurst only, which I like. And when I'm in Chicago, I have Vienna beef.
Nice.
Vienna beef's a lot better than processed meat. You know, the Vienna hot dogs are strong. Strong effort. Have you ever had the Vienna dogs in Chicago?
No.
You need to get into that. It's a little investment I would make if I were you. Colin in Wisconsin, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, can I get a peach Snapple from the Pharrella Pub?
Absolutely. I can't believe we even have those in the fridge.
I can't either. So I got two quick questions. One, who do you think the Packers take in the draft tomorrow? And two, if the Hurricanes win this game, who choked worse, the Golden Knights or the Capitals?
Oh, you know, that's a great question. I don't think that I guess Vegas did choke. They were up 3-1, so they blew the last three games. And then, you know, I thought, you know, all things being equal, I thought that the penalty was a really bad call to give them a five-minute major, and they scored four goals. But that didn't end the game because Vegas still scored with a minute left or whatever it was to make it, you know, 4-4, and then they won 5-4. In overtime, whatever it was. How many overtimes did they play? Just one?
Yeah, one last.
They scored late, right?
They played two on Sunday night, yeah. It was late in the overtime.
But it was real late. It was like the 18-minute mark. So anyway, I don't know. I don't think the Capitals, you could deem that a choke. I think that they blew two-goal leads. That'll be the story. If they lose the game, everyone will say they blew the game because they had two-goal leads. And I think that it's more, to me, there's no sense of urgency with them, and they look shot to me. They really look tired. I mean, it's painfully obvious watching them that they don't have their legs, they're not skating. And they seem, from visually, that they just aren't into it. Like, they're not worried at all. Like, this is all under control, and they got it all figured out. And I think that they are anything but in control of this game. In fact, I think Carolina's been in control of the game. Now, obviously, the Caps could still win the game. Someone's going to win. One of the two is going to win. But I think that they look like they're going to win automatically. And I think the other team's actually working hard to win. So that was the difference. And I have no idea who the Packers are going to draft, but I will say this. I've said this a number of times. The coach, I feel horrible for this guy because I've said it over and over, that watching the way they treated McCarthy, which, you know, they're entitled to do whatever they want to their coach and fire him any way they want, right? But a guy that wins a Super Bowl and takes you to 9 playoff games and 4 title games and wins a ring deserves a better, in my view, treatment going out the door. If you're going to fire a guy like that, you got to do it with class. I thought the Packers, for the first time ever, showed classlessness, frankly, in the way they handled it. So if I'm that guy, LaFleur, if you don't notice that, as him, like standing there going, wow, I mean, I'm nobody. And look at the way they treated this guy. What are they going to do to me? Sell my wife and children to Russians? I mean, like, I wouldn't trust the Green Bay Packers front office as far as you could spit right now, the way they treated that guy, if I'm the new guy. So who cares about the draft? In Green Bay, it's watch your back.
Yeah, a lot of the mock drafts that I've seen so far in the past couple days have them taking offensive linemen. I saw the guy Taylor out of Florida in one, the kid Ford from Oklahoma. So they could be going offensive tackle. There's a couple things the Pack could do.
Oh, well, there's a million things they could do because what are they going, 30th?
Well, no, they're picking 12th.
So 12th and 30th?
That's right. They have two this year.
Oh, all right. So here's
they
one.
They have the Saints pick from last year.
I see one of them that they'll go for a tight end and then an offensive tackle or guard with that late round pick. And anyone that thinks they know who they're going to pick at 12 or at 30 are lying through their teeth. because nobody knows anything. You know what I mean? Here's what you know. Like, the first five picks, you might have a chance of getting right. And then your odds of getting anything right after that, in my view, are about 12%. The rest of the draft is going to be an absolute shack show. No one ever gets anything right, including guys that get paid $500,000 or more a year to tell you who's going to be drafted in what order. Those guys, am I wrong that these guys are never right about anything? What are they right about? I'll tell you what they're right about is the amount of BS that comes out of their mouth every year. Nothing like getting paid tons of money, millions of dollars, to just say whatever. Like, you know, honestly, about drafts. Like, who gets drafts right? Seriously. I mean, I don't know. I can't get anything right in life, let alone.
Anything can happen.
How do you pick anything besides your nose when you're, seriously, when you're watching that thing? Like, I honestly, this is just me. I've said this a million times, right? I think it's one of the most boring things ever. But some people get off on it. Like, they just think it's the greatest thing ever, these drafts. Like, I went to one year, the NHL draft. I did the year when the Thrashers, when I was the play-by-play guy. And I got to tell you, I went to see him draft Patty Stefan, the guy with all the concussions. And I was like, nice job there. Let's get the guy that's had multiple concussions as our top pick. I honestly, from that day forward, I was like, this must be insanity, the people running this. You must be insane.
So, I went to three of them.
Oh, I was bored to death. I was there, like, after the first round, honestly, I needed a life vest. Someone had to rescue me. It was so boring.
Yeah, I went to Minnesota, Pittsburgh,
yeah,
and Jersey. All three of those drafts I've been to.
Jesus, I remember, like, at one point I left and went to a bar. I was so bored. I was like, listen, do you think they'll notice if I'm gone for like 4 hours?
But just the first round. That next day
I went and got
awful.
A hooker and had about seven pints at a bar. Wait, are we on the air? I meant a hook in a fish's mouth, I meant to say. Excuse me. Anyway, double overtime now in D.C., the pressure. I actually am feeling the pressure more than the Caps and Canes, Carver High, and I have no bones in this. I have no bones in this game, but I'm sitting in here tapping my feet, and I'm cussing and watching shots and getting all emotional.
These games are the best to watch when you don't have a dog in the fight because it's you don't have that anxiousness that
This is the 12th time in history that a game has, a seventh game or something has gone double overtime or something like that. It's like, it's one of the rare games ever, this double overtime game. Usually they're decided by now, you know? Do you think we'll have one of these? I think it'll be decided soon. Do you? Or do you think this is going to be one of these three or four overtime games? Are you feeling a goal here or not?
The way that they finish the first, I need to see them show some jump to see if somebody can win it. Because if they start slogging and nobody's skating, it can go back and forth, dumping the puck and icing for a
really?
While.
Really? So you think because they have no legs and they're shot.
It's going to take a mistake.
A big mistake or a bounce.
Yeah,
it's going to be is it not going to be a knuckler or
but
a deflection?
That's how a lot of these. So it's going to be that kind of a mistake, whether it be a missed puck, a dumb penalty. You know, there's one of those things is going to decide this game.
So isn't Reardon, he's in his first year as a head coach, and so is Brindamore, right? Which one of them looks like they might cable in their trousers? Because, I mean, they just showed over there your boy Brindamore, and he looked like, I mean, he looked like he was, his eyes were going to pop out of his head. I cannot believe they just called a power play.
After not giving it to Connelly, right. They get to delay a game on Carolina.
How is that possible?
Shot the puck over the boards.
So they did it, and then they call it, but the Caps did it, and they don't call it.
Correct.
You know, that's some BS right there. That is some absolute full-fledged, like, served-up cold BS. Some, ice cold, like an appetizer, like, crab legs or something ice cold with some, cocktail sauce and some full-on BS. So I'm here, serve up some of that bull shack diesel. Here you go, with some horseradish in it. 855-212-4-HORSERADISH.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227. What's happening here? Double overtime, Carver High. You're saying who had the best chance?
Well, the Capitals have actually picked it up a little bit since that power play. They didn't really generate anything on the power play, but since the power play, they've generated a little bit more. They did make one mistake where they mishandled the puck, and Carolina kind of had a little bit of a somewhat two-on-one, but Holtby made a great save on it. So things are getting a little back and forth here now with about 13 minutes left in the second overtime.
So I got to tell you, this is just me, but I thought that their power play that they got on the delay of game was really lame.
It was awful.
Really feeble. I mean, like not one chance. Canes almost won it right there. with a slap shot. I mean, they got Holpe leaning right there.
But that's one of those ones you're hoping for a little garbage in front off of a shot like that.
I thought the Caps' power play was trash.
It was trash, but then they picked it up after that. They had two really good chances. Mrazek made some good saves.
So, Mavi, what do you think of this game? Like, who do you like here? What you're watching and seeing?
I agree with both of you guys that Capitals definitely picked it up. It was a lot of the Hurricanes early on. Now it's more back and forth, more open. You know, chance for anybody. And I feel like at some point, you know, in the next 5 minutes, if we don't get a winner soon, I think we're going to start to see power plays because I think these guys are getting so tired that there's going to be one guy that has left in his legs and yank someone down, obviously.
Right, they almost scored there, too. I mean, Carolina's got so much pressure on Holpe right now. They're so deep in Washington's end, it's not even funny. They're about to win this game. They're right on the doorstep. They're trying to shove it in as we speak. I mean, it is just –
they're getting more of, like, the full line, like, passing back and forth, find the open guy rushes while Washington's getting, like, the – 2-on-1 or, you know, 2-on-2. They're getting, like, just their forwards attacking. Carolina's getting everybody involved right now.
Just so you know, this other game going on right now is great. The Clippers have actually showed up at Oracle. They lead the Warriors by 3 in the second. Lou Williams has 10. He's hit 4 of 7 from the floor. So, believe it or not, the Clippers are in this game.
Your boy Beverly's scoring. He had 11 points early on.
Now it's a one-point game. Warriors down 1. Mike in Toronto, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, Scotty Shagadoo.
Oh, Shagadoo.
So I just want one thing before I get into the Raptors. I called you after the Leafs won. We're leading the series 3-2, and you told me basically to relax and appreciated the advice because obviously they're trash and went nowhere. But back to the Raptors. What do you think about this series coming up with the 76ers? Do you think they have a chance? And ultimately, do you think if the Raptors do, let's say they go to the finals, you think Kawhi Leonard would consider staying in Toronto?
I do. I actually do believe that. Now, everyone else has him going to the Clippers and, or Lakers for that matter. I don't know why he'd want to go deal with all that crap. I think he's in a much better situation in Toronto. I think it's a fabulous situation. We only think whatever, you know what I mean? Oh, Williams almost just won it for the Canes. He's such a badass. Justin Williams with a little wrister from the right circle almost got a Holpe. Just missed.
Hanging down there by the blue line.
Yeah, but let me just say this. Like, I think the Raptors, I actually think they're better than the Sixers. I really do. I think Kawhi Leonard's unbelievable. You know, we know the story. He's never lost to the Sixers. They're not going to sweep Philly. I don't see that happening. They're, in my opinion, they're too good. You know what I mean? They have, four or five super all-star players on the team. I don't think you can beat a team like that, you know, sweep them. I just don't. I think they'll get a game or two at least. I think the series will be really good, but I think Toronto can actually beat them. If the guy goes to the NBA Finals, if Toronto, let's say, hypothetically, were to they should have won it right there. They missed Carolina on the doorstep. I mean, how many chances do you got and you don't put it in? You deserve to lose after a while, don't you?
You sure do.
So here's the deal. I think that if they win it, let's say they get to the NBA Finals and play the Warriors or somebody like that, then he might very well consider staying because it's been such a great run and he sees the upside to it all and that they have a really nice situation there and a good team and a talented team, a team that can go to the finals, a team that's, you know, deep and that has a great bench and coach and everything else. They have everything there. I mean, what can't you like about it if you're a player? If you ask me, what's not to like? But, he's going to do whatever he wants. The guy's very fickle. He does, you know, he's very quiet. He doesn't talk. He doesn't say what he's going to do. He doesn't show his hands. Et cetera, et cetera. So no one knows what that guy's going to do, and I don't think anybody ever will. People just think they, you know what he's going to do. But look, as far as the Leafs go, let's face it. They were up 3-2. They blew it, and they didn't get it done again. And that's just all there is to it. It is so unbelievable to me that since 1967, they have not won a Stanley Cup. It is crazy to me that the Toronto Maple Leafs aren't, you know, a champion at least once in all these years. Since 67, that is really crazy when you think about it because they're loaded. They have tons of talent. They got a great coach. They got a great front office. They got great ownership. In my view, they have everything that you would need to win a cup, and they just don't get it done. And that is just crazy to me. It's unthinkable that they have never won a cup since 67. To me, that's insane. But it is what it is. And they had their chance at home. They didn't get it done. And then they got their ass beat in Boston in game seven. So it is what it is. This is the third longest game seven of all time in the NHL. So we already know. And I got to tell you.
The longest, of course, the Easter Epic, the Pat LaFontaine game against the Capitals back in 87.
Oh, I remember that one with a snapshot from out at the high slot, right? So I'm guessing that, this is an unbelievable game, but I thought Justin Williams' shot was the best shot I've seen. That was an incredible shot from the top of the circle. I thought it was going in. I really did, and Holpe got literally a piece of leather on it. That was it. Maybe a sliver of his toenail hit it, and that's how he missed by literally a half inch. But then they had another shot in the slot from 10 feet out. I mean, I'm like, Christ, how do you miss that? The wide-open net, and a guy shot it 8 feet over the net. It's just unbelievable. I think that's the pressure there. You know, a guy's on the doorstep. He was 15, 20 feet out, and he's got a wide-open net, and he missed it by 15 feet. That's, to me, grabbing the stick tight and pressure to miss it that badly because he had a great shot. I have to tell you, though, they just won. Carolina won it. Carolina just won it. They just did it. They knocked off the Stanley Cup champs. Carolina and the Islanders. Game one at the Barclays on Friday night. Carolina wins it in double overtime.
I got to see this one again because all
so
the opportunities
much for that
they've
Stanley
had,
Cup.
They've had some great, like, right in front of the net opportunities that Holby's made the save on, and then he somehow lets this one go from pretty much the red line. That was on the goal line. That was a terrible angle.
Wow, what a way to go down in your defense of your Stanley Cup championship. Go out in the first round in double overtime in game seven. I don't know. Was it?
I think it was. They're all jumping on top of him.
Williams again is the backbreaker. It had to be.
They showed everybody hitting him, patting him on the head.
I mean, that is just unbelievable.
If it's him, that's just crazy.
It's McGinn. Because they had Aho, Stahl, and Terabine, and McGinn hit it in, I think.
Maybe they were all patting him because he's good luck in game sevens.
I guess. There you go. What a win for Brock McGinn, a household name, had it. And I just don't even know.
Yeah, Williams threw it to him.
Williams throws it in from pretty much the boards on the goal line, and that kid taps it in right in front of the net.
From Slavin and Justin Williams, the winner, and Carolina moves into the second round to meet the Islanders.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. So the Carolina Hurricanes win the game on a Brock McGinn, shot, right? Was it like a deflection? What was it?
Yeah, Williams kind of threw it from the corner, and McGinn got a piece of it, tipped it past Holtby, and the Hurricanes are on to the second round.
So what did you tell me since the expansion in 67? What
since
happened?
Since the NHL expansion in 1967, this is the first time that no division winner won a playoff round. All four division winners got eliminated in the first round this year.
Can you even believe, honestly, that they led 2-0 and 3-1 and lost? Seriously, and you're the Stanley Cup champs.
I mean, I'm very surprised.
It's almost like they're chumps.
But what
honestly, how do you blow two-goal leads on your home ice in a game seven? You deserve to lose.
They did, and I think I said to you when you walked in tonight, the reason why I kind of, not wanted the Caps, both series would have been tough for the Isles. They just look like that whole toll of last year, going as deep as they did, winning the cup, coming in this year, playing again.
Yeah, but you seemed pretty excited when Carolina won.
Well, because I can go to the games now. I can go to the games now.
Is that why? Because
they play two Sunday games at the Barclays.
So you actually, but it had nothing to do with you think they'll beat them.
Oh, listen, this is going to be a tough series. This is a good Carolina team. You just saw it over seven games. This is going to be really tough for the Islanders because Carolina is a team that they like to generate a lot, and the Islanders are going to have a tough time shutting them down. Now, the Islanders were 3-1 against the Hurricanes this year, but all those games, just like the Penguins series, were back in October, November.
They're meaningless.
And I mean, the Caps went 4-0 against the Hurricanes this year. How'd that go for them?
Meaningless.
Exactly. So I think this is a tough series. Of course, I think the Islanders can win it and are going to win it, but this is not going to be
so when is when is game one?
Friday night.
And game two is Sunday?
Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
And then it goes, what, Tuesday?
No, Wednesday, Friday in Carolina.
Wednesday, Friday in Carolina. And then Sunday in...
Sunday game five at the Barclays Center.
And then Tuesday or something, or Wednesday would be game six?
Tuesday, May 7th would be game six. And actually, they play a back-to-back game seven the next night in Brooklyn. Wednesday, May 8th.
So you're telling me Game 6 is in Carolina, and then they fly to New York and play the very next night?
Yes, because I looked at this last night. There is something at the Barclays Center on Thursday, May
9th. It's a Madonna concert.
I don't know what it is, but there is an event at the Barclays that night, and I guess they could not get it moved out.
It's Taylor Swift's album release party.
So instead of maybe saying, okay, we'll give you a day off, and because the Barclays is full, we'll play you at Nassau Coliseum, even though we don't want to, they're going to make them go back-to-back. How stupid is this?
So what would you prefer, that they just play all the games at the Coliseum?
Well, I prefer all of them, but if you're going to say, okay, well, we're making you play at the Barclays, then make sure that in Barclays is clear, and if it's not, play them at the Coliseum instead of making them play back-to-back days while traveling.
Right. How do you feel about the schedule there? That's terrible. That's terrible. Game six and seven back-to-back?
If it goes that far, yeah.
And they both have to travel?
Yeah.
If it goes seven?
If it goes seven. Game six and
seven.
Well,
with as many, didn't they just say this has the most overtimes of any season ever?
Yeah.
So what do you think, it's going to stop
now?
Well,
no, no. Well, it had the most, the amount in the first round equaled last year's entire playoff.
The entire playoff.
Right. There was 10 last year in the entire playoffs. And I remember us talking about that a lot. It hasn't been a lot of overtimes. Now this year you get 10 in the first round.
So I would think there'd be more.
But this is also so zany because, you know, all the division winners are out. It is as wide open as you could possibly get. The only team left that's won the cup in the last 10 years is the Bruins. I mean, you have all teams that haven't won in forever.
And that's washed.
Right, I'm just saying there's been so – nobody that's left has either won or won in a long time.
It is crazy, the teams that are remaining.
I mean, geez, Columbus, Islanders, Carolina, Dallas, St. Louis, Colorado, San Jose, and then you get your one – you know, original six team in the Boston Bruins.
So believe it or not, tomorrow night there's two game ones, right?
Yes.
Columbus and Boston.
I like that. No break. We get right back into the second round tomorrow night.
Stars Blues game one in St. Louis. And then Friday night is your game. Or no, wait.
Yes.
Avs Sharks and Islanders Canes in Brooklyn.
Yes.
So that's Friday night. Why haven't they added that game yet already?
But I have it here. They just put the schedule out 5 minutes ago.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock for the Islander game and 10 o'clock for the Colorado San Jose game Friday night.
Right. And then Saturday again, game two of the same games we're gonna watch tomorrow night. So what you're telling me is, I think tomorrow night has one game in the NBA, right? Spurs Nuggets.
Yes.
That's the only game tomorrow night.
Well, that's the last. That could be the last series left in the first round if the Warriors win this game. Warriors win this game, Spurs-Nuggets is the last remaining series in the first round.
All right, Brian in Eugene, Oregon, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty. Hey, will you check in the back of your fridge, see if you have a 40-ounce of Old English for me?
I think we actually do have one left. It's unbelievable call for that.
Kind of a two-part question for you. The Blazers, did they win in five because they played good or because Oklahoma City played bad? And then do the Blazers want to play Denver or do they want to play San Antonio?
I think they're going to play Denver. And I think, you know, I got a hard time actually believing that they're going to win. The Spurs are going to win game six and game seven. In fact, I have my reservations whether or not they can even win game six. Because, you know, frankly, in the last two games, I thought Denver really stomped them out. I just thought that they finished them off easily. And we'll see. I mean, I think they have a real legitimate shot tomorrow night to win that game in San Antonio and end the series. I don't think the Blazers, you know, actually sit around playing pick and choose or spin the bottle. I really don't. I don't think they care who they play. They played fantastic against the Thunder, and I just, you know, they played better than Oklahoma City did in that series. Dame Lillard and McCollum are unstoppable. And, you know, surprisingly, no Nurkic. They've been tough with Kanter in the middle. And whatever they're doing is working. I did not, you know, think that the Thunder played well in the series. I thought Westbrook was too erratic. I thought he spent way too much time trash talking and, you know, belittling his opponent and, you know, doing all that nonsense. I mean, I really do. I think he got into the smack talk and the, you know, chirping and the show off, the braggadocious nonsense, you know, talking to the crowd, talking to players, saying stuff. I thought his post-game press conference treatment of the one reporter in, you know, Oklahoma City, Trammell, the guy that he hates, I thought that treatment, you know, distracted as well from it became a story, right? That became an issue, that he wouldn't answer questions became part of the problem for them, because everything that was going on off the court, in the press room, in the media, in the locker room, all that stuff added up, if you ask me, and I think it really distracted from their focus. He needed to be the star player. He needed to be the, you know, the point guard that, you know, I believe controlled things and made, you know, plays happen, you know, created buckets, you know, had his triple doubles and got the rock to the right people, essentially. You know what I mean? Instead of me, isolation, talking smack, getting into it with fans, getting into it with other players, treating the media bad, all of it, I think, caught up and bit him in the ass. I really do. I think that he spent way too much time messing around with all that nonsense, and he got, you know, stung by the bee. There you go. So I think, you know, frankly, that if you ask me, Damian Lillard played on a different level, like, you know, stratosphere type, you know, performance. The guy was just going off. He had 34 in the first half of that game. And, you know, to have 50 and to hit that 38, 40-footer, whatever the hell it was, to win the game, that was just sickening. He's a stud, and, I mean, that's just all there is to it. He won that series. The Thunder didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to stop him, and they didn't do anything to beat him. What they beat him, you know, once? Was that it? I mean, whatever. I just thought it was Portland's. I think they were really upset with losing last year and getting swept by the Pelicans. You could tell that it bothered them because, you know, for some reason they kept bringing it up, right? It became an issue with them. They were, like, mad about last year, so they played that way. And nobody – everyone ripped them. I mean, everybody and their brother ripped them. And, you know, they got just dragged through the mud after getting swept. They got made fun of till no end. And then everybody started with the, you know, Damian Lillard sucks, can't win a big game, and McCollum will never do anything. And, you know, the people are so fickle, and the media is so vicious that when teams lose like that, they just pounce on them. It's so easy to say nasty, negative, mean things about the loser, right? I think it's easy tonight to, you know, bash the Capitals. Their media is going to turn on them. I guarantee you're going to hear all about losing two-goal leads. You're going to hear all about that. Up 2-0 and 3-1, you lose that game in double overtime. I mean, in fact, I thought the entire first overtime they did nothing. And when they had the power play, it was even worse. They were anemic. So you're going to hear all about that. I mean, when you lose, they just pounce on you. They blame you for everything. You blame you and your mother. So it is what it is, but somebody's got to lose. So there you go. Tomorrow night, Nuggets Spurs in San Antonio at the AT&T, and we'll see. The Nuggets can win the series there. And as far as this game going on right now at Oracle, the Clippers lead at the half, 71-63. Beverly, who never is an offensive wizard, 14, 9 boards, 3 dimes. Patrick Beverly going off. Kevin Durant, 21 points for the Warriors. Seldom come out to play. The Clippers are also getting it from Gallinari. He's got 16. I told you, Montrezl Harrell. Did I not tell you Gallinari and Harrell are the only guys and Lou Williams that can score? Lou Williams has 18, Harrell 10, Gallinari 16. There's your scorers. And the shocking thing, the reason they're winning this game is that Beverly's giving them something. He's 5 of 8 from the floor. He's hit 4 threes in the game. Gallinari, a couple threes in the game. They've actually hit 8 threes in the game. Meanwhile, the Warriors have hit 10. The Warriors are shooting 51% from the floor, but the Clippers are hot, 56% from the floor. And both teams are really hot from the line. Clippers 7 of 8, and the Warriors 9 of 10. So, I mean, both teams are shooting really well. It's a really good game. Mavia, do you think the Warriors are automatic that they'll come back in this game and win? Or do you think the Clippers can actually hang with them and somehow get deep into this fourth quarter and steal the win and stay alive?
No, I think they're working hard. They're doing their thing now, but I think they're, after, you know, against a team like the Warriors, they're having to work too hard to get these points and stay in there. I think eventually it's going to catch up to them. I think, you know, just like we talked about, the Cavs kind of taking it too easy. I feel like that's Golden State. They do it all the time in the regular season, and I think they're doing it right now in this game, that they're just slow playing them, and the second half just going to start lighting up and burn them.
The Angels are up on the Yankees 5-1. I'm watching the game. The Yankees have runners on the corners. They're in the sixth inning. And the only thing that would make it better is popcorn and beer. We have beer. We don't have popcorn, but I do have popcorners, white cheddar. So I'm styling.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.